the next hour, hear how 13-year NFL vet thinks.
You can't just do it one play. No. You got to reset. You got to do it over and over and over again. You can come out here with a win. Let's do it.
This is Brown safety Rodney McLeod.
Touchdown score, Rodney McLeod.
Yeah, he is in the touchdown club, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of guys have not scored a touchdown yet, but their teams around the league, and you have a touchdown.
Yeah, that felt good in the moment.
But he's careful. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt good in the moment, of course. That was number four, but, you know, it felt a lot better with a team victory.
Well, we said the minute you score that touchdown, we're like, this is
yeah,
it.
Game,
this is
it. Right?
This is going to be a win. Yeah. Like, you had to be thinking that way.
Yeah, I literally told the receiver on the other side, DJ Turner. So that's my, like, little bro. Went to the same high school as me. Proud of him. But I said, you know we're about to make this run, right? And then next thing you know, next play, I get the scoop and score. And everything is looking like that is going to happen. And, you know, of course, we know how it ended up.
My brain, everybody's brains work a million miles a second as opposed to what goes on in real life. So I immediately started texting them because I thought we're going to win now.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to happen. We're going to win. And even after the phantom hold call, are you allowed to comment on that? Or are they going to fine you?
I mean, honestly,
do me a favor.
I don't know what else. You know, you can do from what I've seen, the angles. I feel like Nick is doing what he's coached to do, what most linemen do, you know, keeping your hands inside. And it's unfortunate that a huge play for our team was wiped out, you know, by that call.
You can write down what you think and then I can say it. And nobody needs to know. And then cause they can't find me. I don't play in the
NFL. That's fine. They can't do anything to us.
So they can
let it rip.
Yeah.
Let it rip.
Well,
what's your stance?
I was upset. I thought it was garbage. I'm watching on TV. Like, let me take you through my emotions. So last week, and I know you don't listen, like a school teacher called in and she wanted me to guarantee a victory to her kids in a kindergarten class. And I did. And the last time I guaranteed a victory was when we played in Denver and Baker Mayfield shaved his face three times during the course of the afternoon in the game. And it was an embarrassment for everybody involved, them, myself. The harassment that I dealt with on air and online was something I'll never forget. And so I was very hesitant to do it, but then a school room full of children called. Like, the children were yelling in the background, Rodney.
It wasn't
a put-on.
Yeah.
So I guaranteed it, and then we lost. But during the game, like, I'm watching, and I'm, you know, we're up 10-0 at the beginning, and I'm feeling okay. I know it's an NFL game, so these things change very quickly, and it did. And then when you score, I start texting them. I go, like, we're going to win this. I want him to bring in the football. Somebody give him the football. Somebody get Rodney the football, please. Like, I started kind of wanting to text, like, the equipment people, like, get the football for him because I wanted you to bring it in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's still 20-16 because immediately Dustin missed the extra point. And then the Nick Harris call, I thought it was garbage. I know I'm a Browns fan. I know I'm emotional at that time. I am 0.0 on the blood alcohol content when I'm watching that game on Sunday, and I was
that makes one of us
furious. Because, and then I got even more upset because I respect Ross Tucker a bunch, and I know he comes on the station, and I think he might end up being on this week. Is he not? And I thought he kind of stood down with Gene Steratore because they brought in Gene Steratore on the holding call.
Mm.
And Gene's like, well, and I'm like, well, I respect Gene Steratore. I respect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, he is going to side with the refs. And was like, well, by the letter of the law, the back arm, this, that, and the other. I go, this is garbage. This is Bolsheviks in the very highest order.
We're
here.
Also yeah. comparing it to what we see week in and week out with Miles. And so we know that if other teams do not hold Miles, he gets to the quarterback. He wrecks the game. And I've said before, they can't call it every time. Because it would ruin the game for everybody involved, except for the Browns. Obviously, we want to see that stuff, but it would not make for a very competitive, fun watching game. And then we see the ticky tack on the other side, and then throw in the dimension of this is the biggest play of the afternoon. So, how much when that went down? We always talk about deflating moments for fans. What about for players? Does that happen? And do you have to regroup? Do you have to try to battle that type of adversity when it goes down?
Absolutely. You know, it's human nature. You know, you just had a very emotional moment now, you know, wiped away. And so you have to reset and regroup and, you know, just kind of settle everybody again and get the focus back into, okay, that play is now behind us. And you know, we talk about moving on to the next play, whether good or bad. Like, you can't sit there and you know, dwell on what has already occurred, but how do we, you know, affect the next play? And it's tough. And so I know one of the things I, you know, immediately did after that devastating play, you know, Coop was one of the first guys I saw. I'm like, man, you know, do it again. You know, you just trying to give some words of encouragement to that other side. And, you know, I was talking to Five too, like, man, look, like, rally them, because I know that, like, that hurts. It, you know, it hurts us. You know, last week, you know, we had a interception wiped away. So, you know, those moments like that, you know, we have to bounce back and then, you know, attack the next play like we did, you know, the previous.
I did notice no choreographed celebration after the touchdown.
Yeah, it kind of, honestly, this was caught in the moment. We had a pre-celebration, like, thought of, and then kind of, we just got caught up in celebrating with one another, and we didn't execute it as well. So we'll go back to the drawing board, but we got bigger things to worry about, to be honest. But there will be more sellies.
Well, just what is the mood? First of all, obviously, you know, you're with this team. Last year, you guys go on this amazing run in the month of December. You get to the playoffs. This whole town is on the same page, and we're loving life. This year, it's 1-3. You have two road games that I know you guys take these games very differently than fans do. We go, oh, that's a win. That might be a loss. Oh, that's going to be a win. We had you guys at probably 3-1 or 4-0. You know how we get. And I'm sure you had high expectations, too. What is the mood right now of, you know, that locker room when you're reporting back to work this week? What is it like?
Yeah, the mood is, you know, we're upset, and we're more so disappointed with ourselves, and knowing that, you know, we have let a few games go, winnable games that we felt very strongly about. Two, obviously, at home, we pride ourselves on being a great home team. And we haven't won at home yet. And then, again, you go on the road, you know, versus opponent like the Raiders. And, you know, they're down a few guys. Doesn't matter. We all know everybody's in this league for a reason. And we come out, you know, again with a loss. And so for us, it's just about, one, facing reality. Reality is we're a 1-3 football team, but this is just the first quarter of the year, and we talk about starting fast. We didn't do that. That's evident. But the only people that can get us out of this situation is us, and so we have to look our, you know, selves in the mirror and have a very tough conversation and self-reflection with one another. If we think that we're doing enough, we're not. You know, we need to do more, because that is what's required and that is what is demanded of us in order to resolve the issues that have been occurring. So, yeah, we're disappointed, but we're also very hopeful, because there isn't much hope that lives outside of, you know, the walls that we're in. You know, everybody, power rankings, your number this, your number that, the start of the season, oh, number one defense. No, like, this is a new year. Everything that you just said was what we did last year, what that team did last year. There are new people that are part of this group, and we have to figure out what is our legacy going to be. What is the narrative going to be about this 2024 season? And right now, I mean, I love this. This is a great challenge. Like, where most people are uncomfortable in these environments about adversity. Like, that's been my career. And I know a lot of other people on the team can relate. Like, in order for us to end up where we are all at right now in these seats, there was some sort of adversity we had to overcome. We have defied the odds. And so it's no different right now. 1-3, people don't expect us to be a playoff team. They don't expect us to win the division. But at the end of the day, we're going to stand strong as a team, and we're going to fight our way out of this, and we're going to get back on track.
Rodney McLeod in studio facing the music for a team that's 1-3 right now. We had a discussion earlier in the show about two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, and how much that we have talked about him as being that guy, a face of the organization. And we were wondering leadership-wise, because he, on TV, every time the camera's on him, he's not in guys' faces, you know, like some coaches in the NFL. You know, he seems somebody who is much more subdued, focused on, you know, the task at hand. What is he like behind the scenes? Give us a window into how he is, whether it's after a win or after it's a loss. Because now this is fifth year. He's been around a long time. He's been around really good teams, and he's been around roller coasters. So what is Kevin Stefanski like?
Kev is steady. Like, he's exactly what you see, like even keel. And I mean, that I think that's like my approach. Of course, there is emotion there. But at the end of the day, I think he's always just focused on like the present and how do we move forward, and never allowing anything, whether success or failure, to waver his routine, his preparation, his delivery. All of those things matter, because at the end of the day, you know, your leader is important, and some guys wear their emotions on their sleeves, and that can have an effect on your players. Like, if you're very emotional or just unstable, that can actually have an effect on like your team. Like, the fears that you have, it shows over on the guys. So Kev is Kev, and we all know he's a great leader for us, and he's going to continue to be that way. And honestly, it's he relies on us as players to fix, you know, a lot of the problems, and that's what it is. You know, Jim Schwartz, I love his quote, like, you know, good teams are coach led, but great teams are player led, and that's a fact, because at the end of the day, when we're in between those white lines, it's us. It's nobody else. It's us. And that's why I made that statement earlier. How we come out of this, how we determine our fate as players. And so that is Kev's approach. And we're going to continue to ride that way. And we're all going to rally behind him. And I know we're going to get to, you know, where we're all striving for.